is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Atlantic hurricane season begins a week from Saturday.
NOAA is predicting an above average 2024 Atlantic hurricane season.
Dr. Rick Spinrad is boss at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, planetary scientist forecasting 17 to 25 named storms with between 8 and 13 blowing up into hurricanes.
4 to 7 are forecast to become major hurricanes, that is category 3 to 5. With maximum sustained winds of at least 111 miles per hour.
The season will peak around 10 September. Striking a blow for police accountability, Southern Mississippi federal judge Carlton Reeves denied qualified immunity claims by a Jackson, Mississippi police detective who's being sued for wrongly prosecuting a man for murder. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation reports more than 100 people are believed to have been killed in a landslide in remote part of Papua New Guinea. This is ABC News. The leaders of Northwestern University, UCLA, and Rutgers went before the House panel investigating campus anti-Semitism.
This is the third hearing on anti-Semitism on college campuses this committee has had. One had the president of Harvard in it, for instance, UPenn as well. Presidents of those universities ended up resigning in part based on what they said in that hearing. Then there was another hearing with the president of Columbia. It was timed almost to the exact day that those demonstrations began on Columbia's campus and the encampment started there.
ABC's Jay O'Brien in Washington. New York City's Museum of Jewish Heritage with an offering all those protesting college kids would benefit from. Free educational field trips to 8th grade students in public schools here. The program will allow as many as 85,000 students to tour the museum for free over the next 3 years, starting in the fall. It's the idea of City Council member Julie Menon, who's calling for a proactive approach to combat anti-Semitism at its roots. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin delegates and alternates to the Republican National Convention include two people who served as fake electors in 2020. Pam Travis and Bob Spindell signed documents to cast Wisconsin's electoral votes for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden had won. Hunters and fishers in Wisconsin are keeping a close eye on work on the 2024 federal farm bill. Aaron Sandquist with Pheasants Forever says the bill needs strong private land conservation protection.
We have a lot of needs in states like Minnesota and Wisconsin, particularly in the prairie areas, and private land habitat provided by the Farm Bill, like CRP, is critically important.
Advocates say 40 million people would lose access to hunting and fishing opportunities without the Conservation Reserve Program. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Giannis named to the All-NBA team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the sixth straight time, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been named to the All-NBA first team. He became the first player this year in NBA history to average 30 points a game while shooting 60% from the field. Baseball last night in Miami, the Brewers losing 1-0 to the Marlins. The crew headed to Boston today to open a series against the Red Sox tomorrow night. NFL Packers' first week of OTA practices wrapping up. Two players now recovering from surgery after suffering torn pectoral muscles while lifting in the team's weight facility, including tight end Tucker Kraft and starting right tackle Zach Tom. Their first-round draft pick rookie Josh Morgan has been lining up at right tackle in place of Zach Tom. I asked Matt LaFleur about Tom's status.
Yeah, that was a pec injury and, you know, just an unfortunate coincidence. But again, no long-term concern. He will be a guy that we anticipate back for camp.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds here in the overnight and a chance of some late night showers and thunderstorms. Lows will drop to the mid and upper 50s. Shower and storm chances continue into your Friday. High temperatures will reach the low to mid 70s. Storms ending Friday night. Currently 62 degrees.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a special Best of Devil's Advocates. Never Trumper, former Congressman Joe Walsh, and my congressman, Mark Pocan.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. On the line with us, Phil Ittner, the veteran war correspondent based out of Kyiv, Ukraine, host of On the Edge, a new podcast available wherever you find fine podcasts. You can also find his video blog over on YouTube. Just plug in his name, Philip Ittner, Ittner Philip on Twitter. And Phil, am I correct in saying that your podcast can be found wherever you find good podcast or great podcasts, or is there a particular site where people can find
it? We're having some teething problems, but yes, it's on Spotify, Apple. It's On the Edge with Philip Ittner. I've included my name onto it so people can find it more more readily. There's also a dedicated channel on YouTube, On the Edge, with Philip in there. And then folks who are already on my personal channel, I'll be publishing there as well. We put out our first episode last Sunday. This coming Sunday, if all goes well, we will put out our second episode. The first episode was with a gentleman by the name of Michaela Kaleba. Very difficult topic, but one that needs to be aired in open as the good antiseptic that open air, exposure brings. It's about the suffering of children, and what the Russians are doing to the children of Ukraine, both in occupied territories and also in the abduction, ethnic cleansing, and outright genocide that they've been committing against Ukraine's children.
They have stolen over 100,000 children as of this moment, and shipped them off to Russia, which is now the world's leading producer of child pornography.
They don't even hide it. They're proud of it. They look at it as destroying a cultural identity that they don't think is justified in its very existence. It is genocide, Tom. Yeah. It's ethnic cleansing. And we talk about it extensively with Michaela Kaleba. And it's not, you know, aside from those that have actually physically been abducted, you know, if you go back to 2014, when the initial phase of Russia's occupation of Ukraine began in the Donbass and in Crimea, those children who were, you know, 10, 12 years old back then have been raised up for a decade in a system that has been told, that has been drilling into their head that their fellow Ukrainians are their enemies. And so now, cynically, you even see these children who've lived under Russian occupation picking up arms and fighting against their fellow Ukrainians. It's heartbreaking what they've been doing to those kids. It's a tough topic, but it's worth watching, and it will remind you why it is the West, why we are justified in supporting Ukraine here. I mean, if there is a clear-cut good and bad conflict in my 25 years of covering wars, it is this one. Right. What Russia is doing to the children of Ukraine, in and of itself, aside from the war crimes that we see happening here on battlefields and in occupied territories, what they're doing to the children is enough to justify our support and defense of Ukraine.
Speaking of the support and defense of Ukraine, because apparently, correct me if I'm wrong on this, apparently because Republicans for a year and a half blocked any additional aid from the United States to Ukraine, the Ukrainians ran out of ammunition, and it's still taking some time to get stuff to them. And as a result, Russia has made some significant inroads, and they're heading toward Ukraine's second largest city. What's going on with this?
Yeah, they're approaching the city of Kharkiv, a city of 1.5 million people. They're approaching it with a battle group of about 50,000 soldiers. That's not sufficient to take that city. It's, you know, the standard ratio is 3-1. Invader or, you know, those on offense as opposed to defenders. They're not going to take Kharkiv, but they can make it miserable, and they can bomb it and shell it, and they are. And in no small part because we have this ridiculous restriction that we need to address. You know, now that we've actually got the aid package, which is starting to come here, needs to be accelerated, but we've crossed that hurdle. The foolish regulation that we have put on, in my opinion, foolish, is that we are still restricting them from using cruise missiles and other ammunition that we give them to strike into Russian territory. What's happening in Kharkiv is right on the other side of the border from Russia proper, and they are using the Russian territory as staging areas and launch pads and all sorts of things that they can attack Ukraine, but Ukraine cannot attack Russia with the weapons that they've been given by the West because of a fear of escalation. And the Ukrainians are saying, you know, we see the Russians preparing attacks, but until they physically cross the border because of agreements we have with the weapon providers from the West, we can't strike them inside Russia, even though we see them organizing for their assault. That needs to change, and I am optimistic that it'll happen, but every day, again, it's the same sort of thing, this drip, 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 this kind of fear of escalation, kowtowing to threats from Moscow is only resulting in needless Ukrainian deaths. We're going to get to a place where they can fire into Russia, justifiably so. But in the meantime, as we dither and argue amongst ourselves, Ukrainians are dying every day.
Yeah, I get it. I was listening to NPR this morning, and they did a whole segment on how Putin is now waving around nuclear weapons. He just released a video of them, of the Russian army preparing bombers and missile launchers with or for nuclear weapons. Clearly this is meant to intimidate the West. What's your take on that?
100% intimidation. 100%.
No real threat. Just bluster.
If they use a nuke, it's over. Yeah. And nobody wants... Look, let me preface that by saying nobody wants a nuke to be used. Of course not. But the second they use a nuke, it's done. It's done. You can't unring that bell. Using a nuclear weapon, especially now that we know the capacity of what those weapons can do. I mean, aside from our usage of them in Japan at the end of the Second World War, if Russia were to use a nuke in Ukraine, that's a line that can't be stepped back from. And they know it. They know it perfectly well. And they all along this has been Russia's intent is to fracture the West, make people afraid of their nuclear capacity. And because of that fear, to create infighting within the Western alliance. And so every time there's about to be, because they know what's about to happen, the $61 billion is coming online, the F-16s will be here, the long-range attack on artillery will come. Eventually, there will be authorization to attack using Western weapons into the Russian Federation. They know what's coming. They're not stupid. They are very well aware of it. And so every time they're aware that they're about to get it in the neck and that actually the tide of the war could change, that initiative could shift. They bring out their Trump card, no pun intended, and saber rattle with their nukes. This is not to be dismissive of the threat, but it is to also understand that they know perfectly well what will happen if they do use a nuke, and it will be devastating for them.
Yeah.
I think it's an empty threat. I really do. But, you know, obviously when it comes to nukes, you don't want to be flippant.
I'm curious also your take on this. Russia is now kind of stepping back saying, oh, this was just an administrative thing. Where they're saying that the part of the Baltic Sea around Kaliningrad, that their territorial waters essentially are being expanded to encompass parts of, correct me if I'm wrong in my memory, but Poland and Lithuania, or is it Lithuania and Latvia?
Yeah, So, not to go into a history lesson, but at the end of the Second World War, they kind of held on to this enclave that's on the Baltic Sea.
Right, it used to be Königsberg. It used to be German territory.
Yeah, it used to be a place called Königsberg. It was owned by the Germans. It's one of these areas where empire, again, so much of this territory is about empire. It's an odd little place, isn't it?
It is, yeah. In fact, I flew in after the fall of the Soviet Union, this used to be a top secret area because it's a military base.
Mm.
And the airport was just a wreck. The ceiling was falling in. There was an old lady with a handmade broom sweeping the floor. The security guy just waved us through, didn't even look at our pass. It was just weird. It was just totally weird.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird spot. I was there. I did a story about a prison that was there where AIDS was a petri dish because it's this little isolated enclave cut off from the rest of the Russian Federation. They sealed it off during the AIDS epidemic, and it just worsened things because narcotic use and all sorts of. It's a weird, weird place, and it's German trappings and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've got this little, they've got this little foothold on the Baltic Sea, and as is their wont, this is their MO. They do it time and time again. Once you get their codex, once you get their playbook, you can see it coming a mile off. What they do is they say, oh, well, this is actually historically justifiably ours, so we're going to return it to what it once was, and we're going to continue to expand. It's always expansion, under whatever excuse or motive or whatever they say their intent is, it's all about expanding their empire. Why this war in Ukraine is so existential to them, because unless they have the cornerstone of their empire, which is Ukraine, that whole part of their consciousness and their sense of identity as an expansive empire will be called into question. And that's
got
why,
it.
That's
Phil,
why
I just have 30 seconds here. A real quick question. You know, China's doing the same thing around Taiwan, and Putin was in China last week, and now apparently China is supplying weapons to Russia. Could this be a game changer for Russia?
I don't think so. I don't think China is going to want to get over its skis when it comes to supporting Russia too much. They know that consequences of it are, and they can also see the writing on the wall that Russia is teetering on being a failed state. Not to be dismissive of it, and it's bad because more Ukrainians will die, but it's not. No, I don't think it's a game changer.
Yeah, well, that's reassuring, because that's kind of different from what I'm reading in the Financial Times, but I trust you, Phil. Phil Entner.
Only time will tell, Tom.
Of course.
I don't have a Palantir.
I get it. Veteran war correspondent Phil Entner. Check out his new podcast, On the Edge with Philip Entner. And you can find his video blogs over on YouTube. Phil, again, thank you for dropping by.
Anytime, Tom.
My pleasure. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Corporations weaponizing free speech to wreck the world, and Trump bullying and torturing women. Let me tell you about that after the break, and then I'll pick up your calls. Sometimes Louise and I just crave a restaurant-quality dinner at home without doing all the work or driving. Well, Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week. And it appears to be less expensive than other delivery options. We just received our first meals from Cook Unity, and what a huge difference it is. We just had the Chipotle maple glazed salmon with green beans and mango pico de gallo. It had everything we love in a meal. They have all sorts of options like vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, and more. Menus are posted 2 weeks in advance, so you have plenty of time to choose. Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/Hartman with two N's or enter the code Hartman with two N's before checking out for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code Hartman or going to cookunity.com/Hartman.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So the first chink in the wall was, or kicking the wall in, was in 1886 when the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, actually ruled that corporate personhood was not a thing. But John Chandler Bancroft Davis, who was the clerk of the court at the time, wrote in the headnote to the decision that Morrison Remick Waite, who was the Chief Justice at the time, had said that corporate personhood was a thing, even though it was a lie. I wrote a whole book about this that we published in 2001 titled Unequal Protection, How Corporations Became People, or Became Persons. So that was the first, and then it got tripled down on in 1978 in the Bilotti, First National Bank of Boston versus Frank Bilotti case, where Justice Lewis Powell of the Powell memo wrote
that, yes, indeed, corporations are persons. And not only that, they have access to the Bill of Rights. And they have First Amendment rights, including the First Amendment right of free speech, which we will interpret as being money. So therefore, they can bribe politicians, and that's just exercising free speech rights. But it gets even weirder than that. Lever News reporting now, levernews.com, David Strota's publication, a piece by Catherine Lee, talking about how the corporations are now saying that when government forces them to make disclosures, for example, the Securities and Exchange Commission said, if you're going to do a stock buyback, you have to disclose how much and when and what the circumstances are. And so the corporations went to court before, you know, Trumpy judges and said, we shouldn't have to do that. You're forcing us to speak. And the First Amendment says you can't be prevented from speaking and you can't be forced to speak. And the court, the Fifth Circuit Court, which is dominated by Republicans, agreed with them in December of 2023, you know, which gutted, in large part, disclosure, the transparency around stock buybacks. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been pushing these. The pharmaceutical companies wanted to say, we shouldn't have to disclose the cost to produce our drugs. You know, yeah, it might cost 10 cents to make this drug that we're selling for $4,000, but we shouldn't have to tell anybody that. You're forcing us to do something against our will. The courts have agreed with them. They call this a confession of sins, the courts. Sysco, a food distribution and restaurant supply company, took on the National Labor Relations Board because the National Labor Relations Board said that they had to acknowledge that they had violated the law when they did anti-union activities inside the organization. And they said, we shouldn't have to admit to this. You're forcing us to say something that we don't want to say. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, heavily funded by Big Oil, has been pushing this thing. They challenged the Securities and Exchange Commission over the agency's conflict mineral rule. Used to be that if you were buying minerals from companies that rely on minerals extracted with violence, child labor, humanitarian conflict, that you had to disclose that. And they said, no, we shouldn't have to disclose that we're you know, giving money to groups that are using child labor and that are you know, using violence to force people to work in mines at the barrel of a gun. We shouldn't have to disclose that. It reflects badly on us. We don't want to say that. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce won. The Securities and Exchange Commission can no longer require them to do that. This is wild stuff. If you want to learn more about this, I recommend my own book. You know, I realize it sounds like a self-promoting plug, but I don't know of any other. There's a couple of other books that have covered this pretty well, but I think I did a damn good job of it. It's called Unequal Protection. Or check out levernews.com today. It's just breathtaking. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Donald Trump is going after women who worked for his own campaign who talked back. I'll tell you about that, and I'll pick up your calls on the other side of this break.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Atlantic hurricane season begins a week from Saturday.
NOAA is predicting an above average 2024 Atlantic hurricane season.
Dr. Rick Spinrad is boss at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, planetary scientist forecasting 17 to 25 named storms with between 8 and 13 blowing up into hurricanes.
4 to 7 are forecast to become major hurricanes, that is category 3 to 5, with maximum sustained winds of at least 111 miles per hour.
The season will peak around 10 September. Striking a blow for police accountability, Southern Mississippi federal judge Carlton Reeves denied qualified immunity claims by a Jackson, Mississippi police detective who's being sued for wrongly prosecuting a man for murder. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation reports more than 100 people are believed to have been killed in a landslide in remote part of Papua New Guinea. This is ABC.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 6 tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin Tuesday night, as far west as Cochrane and as far east as Kaukauna, with the strongest in Unity at 105 miles an hour. They had to cancel school in Madison because of so many downed trees and power lines. About 50,000 homes and businesses across Wisconsin lost power. Police in Waukesha are giving a tent community until the end of next week to pack up and leave. Police specialist Jason Fink says they're not targeting people because of their homelessness.
But it can lead into certain crimes, like if someone is trespassing or littering or loitering or being disorderly, and we get a call from someone in the community for us to go and address those situations.
The land they're on is owned by an out-of-state corporation that only recently learned that people were living there. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. It's finally here. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, opens this weekend in what is expected to be a big one for the summer box office. Anna Joy Taylor plays the role of Furiosa in the George Miller-directed follow-up to 2015's Mad Max Fury Road. Furiosa is at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Family-friendly Garfield opens this weekend in the U.S. after having already grossed $50 million overseas. Reviews are just so-so, but audiences approve. If you're looking for a critic's darling, check out Richard Linklater's new film, Hitman, starring Glenn Powell. The film is at 98% on the tomato meter. If you don't feel like leaving home, Dune 2 is available to stream on Max, and other early summer hits are available to stream like Challengers, The Fall Guy, and Anne Hathaway's The Idea of You. Have fun at the movies and have a safe weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds here the overnight and a chance of some late night showers and thunderstorms. Lows will drop to the mid and upper 50s. Shower and storm chances continue into your Friday. High temperatures will reach the low to mid 70s. Storms ending Friday night. Currently 62 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Our needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus get a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. 35 minutes past the hour. This is just an astonishing story. I've got to share it with you real quick, and then I'll pick up your calls. It's by Marilyn Thompson over at ProPublica.org. It's their big story for the day, ProPublica.org. Great organization, worthy of your support. Let me just read the first couple of paragraphs of this thing. Nearly 8 years ago, convinced that she'd been treated unfairly, Jessica Dennison sued Donald Trump's campaign for workplace harassment. Then she discovered the lengths Trump's attorneys would go to hit back and their unwillingness to stop. Immediately, the Trump campaign filed a counterclaim for $1.5 million. It won a $52,000 judgment, and the campaign froze her bank account and almost forced her into bankruptcy. They monitored her Twitter account, which had 32 followers, and submitted hundreds of pages of printouts to a judge. They even deposed her mother, grilling her about the family's religious practices. Her legal fight continues. The process has been unbearable. This is 8 years later. The process has been unbearable, Dennison says, describing the unrelenting pressure she feels from the Trump campaign attorneys. This has become my life. I have no income, and I had this lien against me. It crippled my ability to work. And then they go on to note, Trump has done this in hundreds of cases of women who worked for him and then left and either said bad things about him in the campaign or tried to sue him. They go on to say Trump was regularly updated on the women's cases. In one, he wanted to escalate the dispute by filing a federal defamation lawsuit against the former employee, but his lawyers persuaded him it was best handled through arbitration. Last year, a federal judge freed 422 employees of the 2016 Trump campaign from confidentiality agreements in a class action lawsuit brought by Dennison, the woman I just told you about, a major crack in the campaign strategy. As the media has chronicled, Trump is a well-known bully. But ProPublica found that Trump's campaign used similar bullying tactics against its own workers. The Trump campaign, again, I'm reading from this ProPublica piece. This is farther along in page 3. The Trump campaign brought out heavy artillery to discredit another female employee who filed a federal lawsuit in February 2019. Alva Johnson, a field operations director from Alabama, alleged pay disparities and a hostile workplace. But her most explosive allegation was that Trump engaged in sexually predatory conduct by kissing her without permission during a Florida campaign event. To handle her case, the campaign hired an attorney named Charles Harder, best known for winning the privacy case in 2016 that destroyed the gossip website Gawker. Harder's firm was paid $4.3 million. Trump was then in the White House. A Trump-appointed judge threw out her case, calling the kissing allegation a political attack. Harder subpoenaed Johnson's bank statements, extensive news media contacts, and communications with potential employees. They just go on and on and on through this article. But all these women who worked in the Trump campaign, who experienced harassment, sexual harassment from Donald Trump himself, low pay relative to their male coworkers, et cetera. And when they spoke out or when they tried to do something about it, Trump brings in the lawyers and he doesn't just, you know, say, you know, you're out of here, you're fired. He goes and tries to personally destroy them. This has been how Trump has worked his whole entire life. And, you know, if the media reports that I'm reading are accurate. And this is such a grim story. ProPublica.org is where you can find it if you want more information. So, what's on your mind? Let's pick up your calls here. Matt in Portland. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I was wondering, I mean, just to speak in generalizations for a second, it's like, I'm always watching, like, Raskin and Moskowitz make Comer and Jim Gordon look like idiots on TV. So it's like, my question is, like, and, like, Trump obviously is Trump. And so it's like, if the Republicans are able to manipulate these people and we're so much smarter, why can't Democrats manipulate these people? You know what I mean? It's like,
who are these people that you're talking about?
Like,
voters, you mean?
Trump voters, because essentially Trump voters and stuff, they're voting against their own self-interest.
No, they're not. They don't think they are. These are 99% white people who think that affirmative action and black people and Hispanic people are coming for them, their jobs, and their wives. They're watching America. I mean, you know, when Reagan was president, America was 80% white. Today it's 60% white. They are looking at that demographic shift, and they are just totally freaked out. And Donald Trump is saying these people are vermin, they are scum, they are poisoning the blood of America, people of color. And you got a whole bunch of white people who are either scared or just, you know, were raised to be racist asses who are agreeing with him. That's the problem. You cannot convince an unrepentant racist that their racism is hurting them.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I mean, that's kind of what I was like, you know, it's like they're appealing to racism and like their bigotry, but it's like, you know, I love Raskin and them doing that, but it's like, are you really, you know, it's entertaining, but are you really, like, fighting for me, you know what I mean?
I think it's important to make your base feel like you're fighting for them, even if it's a symbolic victory. And we need more of that from our side. It's one of the reasons why I'm so disappointed in Dick Durbin right now. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Matt, thanks for the call. Marianne in Boston. Hey, Marianne, what's up? Or excuse me, Ruston, Washington. I have got that one wrong. Wrong coast. Hey, Marianne, what's on your mind?
No problem. Hi, Tom. Nice to speak with you. I was just concerned. Your last speaker asked about Supreme Court rulings. I was wondering if the Supreme Court justices have conflicts of interest, they don't abide by their own new code of ethics, they lie, flat out lie in their confirmation hearings, they refuse to recuse themselves when members of their own family are personally involved in issues that come before them. They reverse established law, like Roe v. Wade.
And they're taking bribes from billionaires.
Exactly. Why do we validate their rulings? Why can't we say there were operative misrepresentations that voided their confirmations and we don't need to abide by them or remove them from the court? I mean, I feel like the Democrats are a sports team where we're the only ones abiding by the rules. The other side is just trumping us.
Yeah, we're the Washington Generals.
Yeah, we keep insisting on playing by rules that they don't abide by. So it's time to make our own rules, but make it in a valid way where we can have a Senate hearing and say, you lied on your confirmation hearing. You did not abide. We would never have appointed you if you had said X, Y, and Z. You refused to recuse yourself. You are fraudulent, and therefore your laws are invalid. Right. I mean, I just...
I'm sorry. Finish your thought. Well, Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, was told by the Supreme Court that he couldn't relocate the Cherokee. He did anyway. He just said, you know, I don't care.
I know.
He was told by the Supreme Court that the Second National Bank of America was fully constitutional and he couldn't destroy it. He shut it down. He just, you know, I think his famous saying was John Marshall, or it's probably apocryphal, but nonetheless, it's attributed to him. John Marshall has made his decision. Let him enforce it. In other words, the Supreme Court does not have the mechanism for enforcement. In 1856, when the Supreme Court ruled in Dred Scott that black people are the property of white people, even in the North, even in non-slave states, President Abraham Lincoln said, I'm going to completely ignore that. We're not going to do what the Supreme Court said. Now, that was the last time, to the best of my knowledge, that any president intentionally and publicly said that they were going to defy the Supreme Court. And that was, you know, a long time ago, almost 200 years ago, 180 years ago. But the fact of the matter is that the court, the only thing that gives the court power is the belief of everybody else that we should do what they say, that we should follow their rules, that we should abide by their decisions. Congress has the power over the court. Congress could defund the court tomorrow. They could say, okay, you guys, you want to meet, you meet in the basement of the YMCA. You know, I mean, it's, but
so
Congress refuses
to. Why aren't we doing that?
Well, this is my question for Dick Durbin. What the hell do you think you're doing? You're running the Judiciary Committee. You're supposed to have oversight over the Supreme Court. The Constitution, read Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, that the Supreme Court shall operate under regulations and with exceptions as defined by Congress. It's very clear. It's very explicit. It is unambiguous. And the Democrats in the Senate control the Senate right now. They have subpoena power. They have the ability to do this. But, you know, for some reason, Dick Durbin thinks that, we don't want to upset them, or we don't. Maybe it'll piss off the Republicans, or I don't know what his logic is, but whatever it is, it's wrong. Marianne, thank you for the call. And you know, Democrats need to be doing something here. They need to be taking names and kicking ass. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. It's 45 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where smart people get their news. I'll be right back with you.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know? Spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn. Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. The Senate is about to vote on the bipartisan border bill. They're going, you know, they can see the handwriting on the wall, the Democrats in the Senate, that the Republicans are going to be beating up Joe Biden and the Democrats over, immigration, over what's going on at the border. Even though border crossings right now are at the lowest level that they've been in years, outside of the 1 year of COVID. COVID kind of, suppressed border crossings, but they're lower than they've been in 6-8 years. NPR did a great piece on this morning. But nonetheless, Republicans, they have no problem lying about what's going on. They're lying about the economy constantly, and half the country believes them, that the economy's in a recession, when in fact, we've got a better economy right now than we've had since World War II. Lower unemployment. Inflation rate is only around 3%, which is, it was above that throughout Reagan's entire presidency, and everybody thought his things were wonderful. So, anyhow, picking up your calls here, Rich in Indianapolis. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks. I was thinking about the SCOTUS and that, as you were describing things, you're looking to history for recusals, and I remember learning that Justice Thurgood Marshall recused himself from the case of Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, versus United States in order to have no appearance of impropriety. And it's
because he was black, or was there some? I didn't recall that.
Well, that was how I was able to interpret it.
Yeah.
He just stepped off. It's like, this is for you guys. And then they all agreed that Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, praise Most High, was denied due process in the lower court and therefore vacate the charge of that court.
Yep. And, I remember that. I just didn't know that Marshall had recused himself. That's amazing. That was back when the court had some semblance of integrity, Rich. That was before before the takeover of the court when they drove Abe Fortas off the court, and it's been right wing ever since.
I want to talk about Abe too, please. I've got a book from 1968. It's a first edition. It's a little thing from Signet, and it says Abe Fortas, Associate Justice, Supreme Court of the United States, concerning dissent and civil disobedience. We have an alternative to violence. And if you can find that online, maybe it's digitized, and it would be really cool for people to be aware of it. Abe was brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
And
he was the most liberal member of the court. He was Jewish. He was the only judge or the only justice on the court who had been a defense lawyer, a criminal defense lawyer at one point in his life.
Oh, my.
and right then, now, Ketanji Brown Jackson is the only one who is a criminal defense lawyer.
Well, I'm thinking that Republicans really don't want people who know the law.
No, they don't. not when it works against them. No, you're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Rich, thank you for thank you for sharing
that.
Yeah, appreciate it. John in Seattle. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Tom, thanks. Well, first of all, I appreciate the reference to the Washington Generals. I'm old enough to remember that they always lost to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Exactly.
But what I did want to
that
do
was their
is
job.
Follow up on. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, on purpose. But I did want to follow up on your comment about corporations weaponizing free speech. I think along those lines, I think it was Jim Jordan who recently chaired a hearing where he called in, actually I guess they subpoenaed the guy who was a director of a sustainable investment fund, and I think the term is ESG, environment, sustainability, and governance.
Yes.
And he, I mean, first of all, the committee filed a document request from him, and then they grilled him on how he had, you know, how he had the temerity to urge investors to invest in anything other than a company that that just sought profits for its stakeholders with no, you know, no moral screens at all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's, I mean, you know, if Jim Jordan can do that, then Dick Durbin should be able to drag a couple of Supreme Court justices before
Congress.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this is not rocket science.
Yeah, this is simple
stuff. Yep. John, thank you for that. Peter in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Peter, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. What I've been thinking lately is the way that Fox News and the Republicans hammer issues, and that's when they find one, like abortion, they found that issue, and they hammered it till they caught the car.
Yeah.
Now they always switch back to migration when they don't have anything else. Well,
yep.
Our issue is abortion. We have turned red states blue with abortion. Trying to convince people about the economy and all the other issues we have might be fine, but the issue that works for us and gets women on our side is this abortion issue.
Agreed.
And we should hammer it 24/7. And not only that, we should have people at hospitals in all these red states on a daily basis reporting the cases of women suffering from their health care. All day long, 24/7.
You know, the media has this kind of weird thing of, well, we did that story, you know? And so there was this moment, you know, this month or so, a month or two ago, where all these stories of women who were having horrible experiences, you know, in red states with their pregnancies came to the front, and everybody was covering it. And then the media was like, eh, we're done with that. Women are still having crises in red states, and I agree with you, Peter.
Yeah.
It absolutely needs to be hammered, but it's not going to make the media, because the media is like, oh, that's old news. We only want new news. What did Donald Trump do lately? Is always coming up with some new outrage, which is exactly what the media loves, and they desperately want a horse race. They're going to do everything they can, at least until October, to lift up Trump and hurt Biden. I you know, we've seen this movie before. We saw this in 2016.
We saw it
in 2020.
We saw it with the big red wave of the blah blah blah, the big red wave, the
exactly.
big red wave, and then it didn't hit.
Exactly.
But we have
Break.
To find some way, because like I said, this has turned red states blue.
Yeah, there you go, Peter. I'm sorry, I got to run, but thank you. sorry for yelling break at you. I thought I'd turned off my mic. I hit the wrong button. We're hitting the break. It's the top of the hour. We'll be back on the other side, how 2016 was stolen with help from Russia. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-flavored dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs eat.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by U.S. Supreme Court expert and attorney Daniel Cotter. I'll also be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey. What is up with student-teacher affairs?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.